Thank you, Jerry. Joe, you two and Tom have a lovely trip to Boston. And we will talk to you tomorrow. And, yeah, weird start time for all three games in Boston. It's a little thing that the Red Sox are trying out. A couple of other teams were talking about experimenting with 6 p.m. Eastern start times as well, or 6 p.m. local start times. I don't know if it's to keep people downtown and stop them from going home and then coming back, or if it's because school's still in and you want the game to be done around 9 o'clock so kids can come and enjoy it. But it's definitely different. We'll be on at 6 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow for a 6:10 first pitch, Aaron Sanchez against Joe Kelly. Right now, Blue Jays talk, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And they got swept. That's not good. They're 1-6 against Tampa this year, which is really not good. We're 19 games into a season. They were without Jose Bautista. They have pretty much been without Edwin Encarnacion. He's been awful to this point this season. And they're still one game under .500. All is by no means even close to lost. I mean, it does kind of stink that they're not 14-5, that they're 9-10. And it does feel like we can't have nice things around here. That there's always got to be something going wrong and something to complain about. Not that people wouldn't be complaining about something if they were 14-5, but that's beside the point. But a game under 500, when they haven't had their starting nine in a single game yet this year, when the starting pitching has not been good, and when two of your best hitters aren't hitting, it's really not so bad. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. John's our first caller. Everybody else, we get to know what city they're in. But John's in Nova Scotia. John, where are you in Nova Scotia?
Central Nova Scotia.
Is there an actual municipality in which you dwell?
Yeah, there's a municipality, yes. It's Central Nova Scotia. I like to talk about the last days of Dalton Pompey.
Oh, please.
And how he can't catch a beach ball in the outfield. And he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
All right, see you later, John. Thank you for the call. If you're going to call, don't be a jackass. Dalton Pompey dropped a fly ball today. It was a fly ball that every single major league outfielder should catch 100 times out of 100. Dalton Pompey dropped a fly ball. People make errors. It happens. Dalton Pompey also had one of 5 hits that the Blue Jays had today. And he's hitting fine. If you want to call up here and say the last days of Dalton Pompey, a 22-year-old who's just getting started in the major leagues, then take it somewhere else. If you want to talk rationally about the potential that Pompey winds up going back to Buffalo for at some point in time, that's fine. You start a call like that, I don't want to hear from you. Randy in Ajax, hello.
Mike, I just want to preempt some of your callers who are going to be calling for Gibbons' head today. I think he's done a good job as manager. A lot of people will be on his case about the call yesterday, bringing Cecil in. It was a good call. It was almost an out. They're almost out of the inning. Everybody needs to keep calm on the Gibbons hating. A question I did have for you is, how soon do you think they're going to call up some relief help for the bullpen, and who do you think they'll call up?
I have no idea. I don't know that there are guys who are ready to come up, who are going to contribute in AAA. I mean, Steve Delabar's down there and Gregory Infante's down there, but Bobby Konecki's down there killing it like he always does in AAA, and then he comes up to the major leagues and he gets smacked around. Infante's been pretty good and still throws super hard. He may come up at some point. Delabar may come up at some point. But who do you want to switch out of the bullpen?
I've just sort of wondered a bit. Hendricks has come in a lot of mop-up situations, and he's taken blowout games and made them close on at least two occasions.
Once. Hendricks had one bad outing. That's it.
Didn't he come in against in the Burley outing when Tampa Bay was up here?
Yeah, but he didn't make that a close game. Well, let me see. That was never a close game. No, he didn't pitch in that game.
Okay.
That was Redmond, and Redmond got shipped out the next day. Hendricks pitched the day before and was quite good. He's had one poor outing out of seven. So I don't think he's going anywhere.
I just worry about the overwork on some of these guys. We lead the league in bullpen usage already, and when you're—I know it's mid-April, but that's one stat you don't want to be ahead of.
Well, it's late April, very late April, but you're right. You don't want to be leading the league in bullpen usage, and the truth of the matter is the starting pitching's got to be better. Mark Burley was fine today, but nothing special. He still gave up 13 hits in 5 2/3 innings, most of which were kind of nuts. I mean, he certainly didn't pitch as badly as his line, but he also didn't finish six innings, and that's been the case for the Blue Jays far more often than not, is that the starting pitcher doesn't finish six innings, and it leads to bullpen overwork. But again, you know, you want a change in the bullpen. I ask again, who do you want shipped out?
If you're not going to ship out Liam Hendricks,
which he shouldn't.
You know, it's a bit tough to say. I just think maybe you have to go with a shortened bench. If you've got three young starters who are habitually not making it out of the sixth, it's not ideal, but maybe you go eight man. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really not ideal. I'd rather give the starters, and it's not just the young guys. I mean, R.A. Dickey got blowed up real good the other time. And Hutchison and Norris both went seven in their last starts. I'd rather give them a chance to get right, pitch the way we all believe they can, than go to an eighth reliever. Ugh, I hate eight-man bullpen. But I appreciate the call. Thank you, Randy. Let's go to Gary in Toronto, calling, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Gary, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
I just have a comment about how the Jays are just snake bit by the Rays. It seems like every year, no matter if they're good or bad,
except for last
year,
but
we just lose to them.
Yeah,
and it's similar to the situation like in the 80s with Milwaukee. We just, you know, whether they were good or bad, we lost to them. And the same things for, like, the Orioles. The Orioles have traditionally lost to the Blue Jays. And, you know, it's just something that's perennial.
It's a weird thing. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it happens. Some teams have some teams' numbers, but when you play against a team 19 times, it better not have your number to this extent. I mean, the Blue Jays did have a winning record against the Rays last year, but at 11-8. But it's, I mean.
Yeah, and the Orioles had a winning record against us last year. So last year was against the norm.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I mean, you talk about how the Blue Jays generally beat the Orioles. The thing is, the years that the Orioles have made the playoffs in recent years, the Blue Jays didn't beat them. And so you would think that the years that the Blue Jays are going to have their good seasons, they wouldn't be so snake bit, and they may not yet be. I mean, they still have another 12 games to play against Tampa Bay this year, and they're going to win
some. Well, the Jays are young. I mean, there's a lot of young players on the team.
A lot of young players on the Rays,
you know,
too.
It's similar to, like, Oakland earlier, a few years ago. And, you know, they need to get their form. And maybe by June or July, you know, we'll just turn the whole ship around.
Or tomorrow, you know. I mean, they could, but by close of business tomorrow, they could be a 500 team, a game out of first place. So I don't think that the ship needs serious turning around. But, yeah, they're a young team. But you know what? They just got beat by a young team.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Souza's a rookie. Tim Beckham's a rookie. Kevin Kiermaier's in his first full year in the major leagues. Brandon Guyer's just a kid. So, you know, the young excuse doesn't hold. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know that it's the young that's costing them. Edwin Encarnacion hasn't hit at all. Jose Bautista has barely hit and hasn't played five games in a row. Now they're 2-3 in those five games. Jose Reyes is playing with a cracked rib and really hasn't hit in a week. And in these three games against Tampa Bay, they had their two most veteran pitchers, R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley, give up 12 runs over a total of 10 and a third innings, and then the 22-year-old on his birthday gave up one run over seven. Youth didn't cause the Blue Jays to get swept here. They just weren't good enough this weekend. Blue Jays talk continues. More of your phone calls coming up. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yes, a snack would go good with the game. Thanks for asking. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Blue Jays lose it 5-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They get swept. Meanwhile, down in AAA, the Buffalo Bisons are trailing the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs 3-1 as they play in the top of the ninth. This game's significant in that it was started on each side by a Canadian. Philippe Aumont started for the Iron Pigs and threw five innings of three-hit shutout. Andrew Albers started for the Bisons, gave up three runs on eight hits over six and a third innings. So that's kind of cool. Elsewhere, the Baltimore Orioles are pounding on the Boston Red Sox 12-4. In the bottom of the seventh inning, Tigers lead the Indians 7-5. They are in the bottom of the eighth. Royals lead the White Sox 3-0 in the top of the fourth. Earlier, the White Sox won a suspended game 3-2 over the Royals on a walk-off game-winning single by Avisail Garcia. Blue Jays are off to Fenway Park in Boston. First look at the Red Sox this year. They start a three-game series tomorrow night. We are on the air at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for a 6:10 first pitch. Weird start time, and it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all three of those games. Aaron Sanchez taking on Joe Kelly. Again, join us at 6 o'clock. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Blue Jays talk continues on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and sportsnet.ca/590. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brian Calhoun, and J.D. Bunkus, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
Josh Donaldson modeled his swing after Jose Bautista. Yeah, this season should be pretty fun. This is Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Baseball control in Toronto. Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays lose at 5-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They get swept. Chris Archer's tremendous again. Mark Burley was okay, but certainly not good enough. Really got nickel and dime to death, but still gave up 13 hits over 5 2/3 innings. And the Blue Jays are 9-10 to start the season. They're off to Fenway Park for their first look at the Boston Red Sox tomorrow. And then they get the Indians. And it'll only be their second series of the season against a team that's not in the American League East. It's, I don't know if it's a particularly unusual schedule, but it's been division heavy early on, I think, for everybody. And the Jays are going to be halfway done with the Orioles before the middle of May. Anyway, we're taking your phone calls right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time. Then Roger Lajoie will take over and get you set for the Raptors and Wizards and what they hope, what we all hope, is not the Raptors' last game of these playoffs. But we'll see. They are down 3-0. Baseball, though, is our... I had the word, too. Nuts. Oh, well. It'll come back to me in, like, as soon as I sign off. Eddie in Fort Erie. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Eddie.
Thank you very much, Mike. I just wanted to have a couple of comments. I'm not going to say what that first caller said about Dalton Pompey. You know me better than that. I would never say anything like that.
No one suggested you were going to say anything like that, Eddie. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. But, I think if you put him in the minors just to get, like, some playing time a little bit and kind of, do a little bit of adjustments, maybe you can do that because... two things. One, Goins and Valencia have been playing the outfield the last couple of games, especially in the Baltimore series.
Well, not now that Saunders is back, that's not going to happen.
I know that, but I'm getting to my but that brings me to my second idea. I find that Michael Saunders fielding percentage wise.
Don't quote fielding percentage, Eddie. It's the worst stat in baseball.
Okay, but I don't know. I just thought that, you know what, if Pompey goes to the minors, that's fine. You still have Valencia and Goins to play the outfield as well, and they still play, you know, infield and all that sort of thing. But if they want to do that, you know, that's fine. And my second comment is, and I'll hang up, I'm really looking forward to that Boston-Toronto series this week because it's one of those series and games where I had a little bit of a check mark beside because – if you look at both teams, they both have good offenses and also sometimes fairly porous pitching from the bullpen and the rotation. So I'm really looking forward to that series tomorrow.
It should be a lot of fun. It should. Thanks for the call, Eddie.
Yep.
I had a hard time figuring out why the Boston Red Sox were the consensus pick to win the American League East. I still don't understand it. I don't think they have the pitching, and their offense is no better than the Blue Jays. It should be an evenly matched series, of course, with the exception that the Blue Jays will be slightly limited with Jose Bautista only being able to DH. But it should be good. It should be good. The Blue Jays have played very, very well against every team that's not the Tampa Bay Rays this season. And, again, 6 o'clock tomorrow, Aaron Sanchez and Joe Kelly. And I talked to Pete Walker after Sanchez's last start, where he was terrible and then fantastic and then slipped back again. And he says he thinks they figured it out. He thinks that he and Russ Martin have figured out what is going on with Aaron Sanchez, and he expects that his next start, we're going to see the results of the changes. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Blue Jays lose it 5-1 to the Rays. Chris in Toronto, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, not to be Debbie Downer or anything, but Aaron Sanchez has been a disappointment this far this year. And Anthopoulos has said multiple times in the past that they think they've tweaked Sanchez enough to fix his control issues and such.
Yep.
But so far through three starts, it hasn't been pretty. The Red Sox are a very good hitting team.
Yep.
So a bad pitching error and a good hitting team is a recipe for disaster.
No.
My question for you is, if things go bad tomorrow, you think they're finally going to cut the cord on Sanchez or what?
No, I'm glad you're not trying to be Debbie Downer and you use the word disaster in your call.
They're a top five offense, and he's one of the worst starters right now in the league. So,
Aaron Sanchez, I mean, they still won the game where he walked seven guys. He walked seven guys, and he gave up two hits.
Oh, I know. The bat of God saved him, but the bat of God weren't nice. We weren't nice to Burley today.
No, the BABIP gods certainly weren't nice to Burley today. Look, I have a hard time when someone calls and says it's a recipe for disaster. Erasmo Ramirez starting yesterday's game against the Blue Jays was a recipe for disaster. And Erasmo Ramirez gave up one run on four hits over four innings. Aaron Sanchez has made three starts in his major league career. Three starts. And if you're going to go with six rookies to start a season, then you have to be able to live with their growing pains and with their ups and downs. He's 22 years old. If they pull the rug out from under him, if he's terrible tomorrow, then that's unfortunate because you're really not. Four starts is not giving someone much of a shot at all. Now, if he goes out and he walks seven guys again and doesn't have that spot in the middle that he had in that game against Baltimore where he was unbelievable. Remember, too, in that start, he wound up with the seven walks but also got seven consecutive outs on 21 pitches. He was on fire in the middle of that game. And they know that's in there, and that's why you continue to give him a shot. This isn't Dana Eveland. No, it's not JoJo Reyes. This isn't some crap-balling guy with no stuff who's getting by the seat of his pants. And that's why you keep him in there. Mark in Brampton. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi. Just wanted to ask you, I'm confused about something, which is Saunders, who we got to play left field. I thought when he came back, they'd put him in left field, and I figured it made sense to move Pilar over to right field while Bautista's out. And I'm wondering why they've done why Saunders is in right field, never mind why they've switched Pompey and Pilar.
Well, I think they made the switch because Pompey had some struggles defensively, and he's continued to.
Right.
And Pilar had just been out of his skull.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So once you make that switch to center field, it's probably, I'm fine with Saunders in right. That's where he played pretty much exclusively last year. And he's played enough left and enough center. It doesn't really matter which outfield corner you put him in. He's going to be fine. I really feel like I needed to get better looks at some of the balls this weekend, but I've heard enough from the people who are actually at the Trop that there have been three or four balls hit to right field that Saunders probably should have had, and maybe that's because he's just coming out of spring training or whatever. But I don't have an issue with. If you're putting Pilar in center field, Saunders is fine and right for me.
Yeah, I just thought we acquired him to be a left fielder.
They did, but their right fielder's hurt.
Yeah. I just thought you could put him in left field where you were meant to put him and Pilar could move over, I do have another question if you give me another minute.
Why not?
Sure. It's about the trade of Brett Laurie.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if, and I'm not even sure how good Donaldson is, but
anyway.
He's
one of the best players in baseball.
Eh?
He's one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, but Brett Laurie was.
No, Brett Laurie was not. Brett Laurie is one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball and may be the best.
Right.
Josh Donaldson is one of the best players in baseball.
As far as hitting is concerned. You
and defense.
Pardon?
And defense.
Right, okay. But now I was wondering, I don't read the papers every day, the sports section every day, I have a friend who says that Brett Laurie being traded away had a lot to do with, like, personality conflict.
Nope, nothing.
No?
Zero.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the Blue Jays really wanted to make that Donaldson trade without Laurie.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to keep him and get Donaldson somehow.
I see.
But Oakland wouldn't budge until the Jays finally put Laurie in there.
Yeah, I hear as soon as they mentioned that Laurie came up, Oakland perked up. Yeah. But, yeah, I heard that maybe...
there are a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about personalities and what goes on in the Blue Jays clubhouse, and the vast majority of them have never spoken to a member of the team or been inside the clubhouse. So you can pretty much dismiss those opinions completely.
Yeah, just, and I've read a bit about, like, maybe, you know, I've even heard Gibby say, well, Donaldson, you know, great team player, right? And I was just wondering, because I think there might have been an issue with Brett Laurie maybe not being a big enough team player, particularly thinking of last year when he did a sack fly to right field, I think, and Adam Lind did not come in from third.
Yeah, I think that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
That was pretty terrible, and we rightly ripped Laurie for that when it happened. But but no, he wants to win. So,
so it didn't have anything to do with Brett Laurie's there not being a team player or conflict. I heard maybe Bautista, him didn't get along.
No. Who are you hearing this stuff from?
Yeah, just a friend of mine. Yeah.
Well, is a friend of yours work in the clubhouse?
No, yeah, right. I assume he read. I'll have to ask him where he got that.
Yeah, please, because I think he made it up.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call, Mark. I don't know where people come up with this stuff. And let me say this and hope that people will get it. I'm in the Blue Jays clubhouse 81 times a year. And there are years where I have been in there 162 times. And in spring training, I'm in there every day, and I'm in there during games. I don't know who gets along with who. I don't know what these guys are like when they're not putting on a face that they want to show to the media. If you've never been around them, never been in there, never watched, never done anything but watch, you have zero clue about who these people are. Zero. And again, as someone who's down there all the time, I would say I have just slightly more than zero clue. There's no point in talking about personalities, conflicts, the way they behave, who they are as people, because we have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. No idea. Dave is in Vancouver. Dave!
Mike!
Dave!
Thank you for giving me a break from mowing the lawn. Speaking of mowing, I got to admit that Tampa Bay team mowed the Jays, 26 strikeouts. A lot of people figured Neil Tampa wouldn't be that good, but you know, this is a ball club over the years has had a tradition of winning. And I guess Longoria and some of their veterans are passing it on because you know that they're always going to play great defense. I think they committed their sixth error tonight. And, you know, you're pitching. I mean, they've had a great pitching coach. Their bullpen's usually strong. And they've got Archer as, you know, their number one man. And they're hanging in there. It's a weak division. So I'm not that worried about the Jays. I think it's a rebuilding year. Or they're close to .500. They've got a lot of good young talent. But when you got six rookies, some days you're going to get a performance like Norris did or Castro or Grenier. And then other nights you're going to not have a great performance. That's just all part of learning the game. That goes for Pompey, even Pilar. And so I don't know what people are getting so excited about. I'm just looking for, you know, the rebuilding to continue. I'm going to watch the single-A Vancouver Canadiens out here, see if there's some good young positional players coming. Maybe we can make another deal and get another guy like Travis. So I just, you know, Mike, I got to say this. You have got the patience of Job. Seriously, you know, of some of your callers and so on. Always enjoying the program. It's going to be a fun year. Hey, I don't know if we're going to win this division. It's a very weak division. Come the deadline, trading deadline, we'll see who's the players, and maybe we'll win the sprint to the end. But we're going to have a fun year, and I think we're heading the right direction, Mike. What do you think?
I do too, Dave. Thank you. Thanks for letting me in on this. Always fun to hear from Dave in Vancouver. You're right, 27 strikeouts. Blue Jays struck out 27 times over the three games. I love how you say they're pretty close to 500. They were a 500 team 3 hours ago, and they're one game underneath those lines. I would not call this a rebuilding year. I don't think that when you have R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley, Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Reyes, and Russ Martin, you're rebuilding. What you're trying to do is win with great veterans and really, really talented kids. But I agree completely that it's going to be a fun year. And this is part of the fun. You know, patience of Job or whatever, people are going to be reactive. When the team loses, they're not going to be happy. And they're not necessarily going to be rational. And that's part of the fun. Also part of the fun, by the way, the Baltimore Orioles leading the Boston Red Sox 18-4 right now as they play in the bottom of the seventh inning. Bibby is in Bowmanville. Hello.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, it'd be better if the Jays won today. And I got to say, Mike, I don't want to make this a show where we dump on the rookie class, but the kids aren't all right.
Which ones?
Well, I'll change it up for you a bit here. I guess sometimes I feel like I'm nuts.
Phrasing there. What is wrong with people? Anyway. Devin Travis is having a phenomenal start to his rookie season. Daniel Norris looked incredible the other day. Roberto Osuna has been silly. And to have three of your six rookies able to do things like that, and the three with basically no major league experience, Osuna and Travis with none at all, Norris with barely any. That's got to be pretty terrific. But make no mistake, the Blue Jays aren't 9-10 because of issues with the rookies. Not at all. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Peter in Toronto, please be better than the last guy.
Yeah, good day. I think we all know what's wrong with the Jays, but, you know.
What?
I just want it to be
what
direct.
We all know what it is. What is it?
Well, you know, when Dickey's pitching, you know, you've got to make sure your offense is scored at least 8 to 10 runs.
Yeah.
You know, you've got six guys, rookies in the lineup. Batista's not hitting well. Edwin's not hitting well. Just a lot of things aren't jiving, but.
Okay,
you know, the
last two
is,
things you said are true.
Are true,
yeah. The okay. First thing was, so I don't know where you got that one from.
My quick question I want to ask you, has the Blue Jays organization ever thought about playing a third of the season in Montreal, a third in Vancouver, and a third in Toronto, and maybe just trying to bring some rejuvenated life across the country into this team? Because I think the problem with the Jays is the Jays just seem to be flat. They've been flat for a number of years. And I don't think it matters what you do. I think you've just got to put some life into them. And I think you'll get that if they truly become Canada's team. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay. My thoughts are that they're the Toronto Blue Jays. They're not the Canada Blue Jays. They play in Toronto. And to go to Montreal for a few games at the end of spring training is wonderful. To go to Vancouver for a few games at the end of spring training.
You don't think if they went out west and they played against, you know, Seattle and Oakland, you know, the teams that are out in the West Coast, that it would, create a bit more of a rivalry as opposed to just...
Yeah, but I don't care about creating rivalries. I care about winning games.
Yeah,
I don't think the Jays were flat when they were in first place on Canada Day last year. They're not making the playoffs because they're playing their home games in the wrong place. And
I think it's got a lot to do with it. You know, when you have a pitcher that's pitching, you know, 25% of your games are just a little less.
20.
Who's pitching
inside.
Who's
been their best pitcher for 3 years?
10 games.
R.A. Dickey, right?
R.A. Dickey. I think it's a big issue. And a couple, you know, young pitchers who are playing in their hometown, I think it creates some anxiety for them. I mean,
what young pitchers are playing in their hometown?
Well, they're playing for their home team in their hometown. You know, they weren't born in Toronto, but they're, you know, it's a little bit different playing in front of your Toronto fans as opposed to going out and playing in New York or Oakland or Boston if you're a Blue Jay pitcher.
Huh? Where are you getting this information, Peter? What Canadian pitchers do the Blue Jays have?
That's not what I said.
You said they're playing in their hometown.
They're playing for their home team.
Okay? Oh, okay, fine.
Okay, that's but what I'm in reference to.
But wherever, whatever team you're on, you're going to be pitching at home sometimes.
So you're telling me if you're playing at home, you don't think it's a stress? Do you think it's less stressful or more stressful as opposed to playing on the road?
I think it's equally stressful. Your solution is that they should have no home games?
That's not what I'm saying.
You are saying, though, but I mean, you're saying 27 games in Vancouver, 27 in Montreal, 27 in Toronto.
I bet you it would turn the organization around. I mean, it's Rogers. It's Rogers' team, and why Rogers would not want to do that is beyond me.
Okay. I appreciate the call. I don't understand the logic even a tiny little bit, but you're entitled to your opinion. Absolutely. Logan in Waterloo. Hey, Logan, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. First of all, I want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
You do a hell of a job with all these Jays fans. Just wanted to ask or get your thought on the Wainwright injury and wondering if you think that's going to help bring the DH rule to the National League.
I would think not, but then, you know, catchers used to get hurt in collisions at the plate all the time, and then Buster Posey got hurt, and they changed the rule. Pitchers have gotten hurt all the time, but now Adam Wainwright has gotten hurt, a potential 20-game winner for a perennial playoff team. And maybe that'll advance it. I can't stand pitchers hitting because they're so terrible at it. I think it's a waste of time.
Completely agree.
I think having an automatic out at the bottom of the order is silly. And I don't think there's any additional strategy because you have a pitcher hitting. The strategy is asking a pitcher to bunt. Well, the guy can't hit. Why wouldn't you ask him to bunt? Pinch hitting for him in a big spot? Well, the guy can't hit. Why wouldn't you pinch hit for him? So that whole strategy argument is over the top for me. I want to see guys who can hit. I mean, I don't think pitchers are pieces of glass, and I don't think they need to be protected from doing these horrible things like running the bases, which, you know, people in their 50s playing softball can do without hurting themselves. But I'd like to see the DH in the National League just for the other reason, for the fact that watching pitchers get up there and try to hit is silly.
Completely agree, Mike. Thanks
yeah.
for taking my call.
No, thank you. I appreciate it a great deal. 416-870-0590, *590 on your cellular telephonic device. 1-888-666-0590. Shane is in Winnipeg. Hello, Shane.
Hey. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's Winnipeg?
Great. You know what? The Jets.
The Jets?
The Jets
call?
This year. They're going to be in there at the end. They're only, except for the National League East, they're only a game, maximum two out of first place. I got a feeling the whole league is a bunch of false starts. No one's really, they're not getting it together. The Jays need to be there. Hitting needs to be more timely and not so streaky. They got a lot of home runs last year, early and split apart, you know, but everything's going to be rosy this year. They're going to be in there at the end.
I think so, too. There's a lot of time left to play out.
Listen, the long question is, since the Jets came back, and I was one of those true Jets fans who knew that the NHL would never come back to Winnipeg, and they did. Yeah. What do you think? Looks like Major League Baseball left the door open for the Expos. If they build it, they'll come.
Well, I certainly hope so, but they have to build it. And it's funny. You talk to Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, who talks about how terrific a place Montreal is and how great baseball would be there, and they need to build a stadium. And then you talk to Denny Coderre, who's the mayor of Montreal, and I asked him, when he was down in Dunedin talking about the series in Montreal and with Russ Martin and chatting it up and how wonderful it would be to have baseball back in Montreal.
There's not a lot of franchises for sale.
You got to let me finish, Shane.
Sorry.
And he said, the mayor of Montreal, when I asked him about building a stadium downtown, he said, well, now's not the time to talk about that. So you can't have it both ways. And it's tough. You know, you don't want to build a huge baseball-only downtown stadium without the promise of a baseball team coming, but you're not going to get the promise of a baseball team coming without building that big ballpark. So I don't know what I would do if I was in Montreal. I certainly wouldn't want taxpayer money being used
to fund that. Issue.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
They could still do it. It'd be great to have another Canadian team.
It really would.
Anyway, have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You look at Tampa, 21,000 tonight on a Sunday afternoon, and that's a good crowd. The Blue Jays were 2-4 on the homestand, and everybody was talking about how terrible they were. And they got 44,000 on a Sunday afternoon, 34,000 on a Saturday afternoon. It is embarrassing how few people go to baseball games in Tampa. Would more go in Montreal if that team was there? Probably. It does seem a natural fit. But baseball wants a stadium. And Tropicana Field was built in, what, the 80s? It was there, I think, at least a decade before Major League Baseball came to Tampa Bay. The Lightning played there a few times. It was called the Thunderdome. I'd love to see a stadium built in downtown Montreal and then an even greater full-court press put on to get a team, because it would be fantastic to have baseball back there. Blue Jays talk continues. We're going to step away for a little bit. We will return with more of your phone calls. It is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Blue Jays Talk with Mike Wellner should be called Blue Jays Talk with you, because it can't be Blue Jays Talk without you. Call in after the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Grounded up the middle by a diving shortstop. In this case, third baseman Evan Longoria coming in to score. The Blue Jays' first run here today, Russ Martin, a base hit for Smoke, and the Rays lead cut to 5-1, two outs here into the ninth.
Blue Jays still haven't been shut out this year. So there's that. They lose 5-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They actually got the tying run on deck as Evan Longoria made a throwing error on a Michael Saunders ground ball in the next play. But Dalton Pompey struck out to end it, ending a terrible weekend in T-Bay. Blue Jays get swept by the Rays. They get outscored 21-6, and they fall below 500. They are 9-10 on the season, 1-6 against the Rays, 8-4 against everybody else. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're going until 5 o'clock Eastern, at which point in time Roger Lajoie will take over. Tom in Toronto. Hello, Tom.
How's it going, Mike?
You know, it's going. What's doing?
Hey, so I know you're going to debate me on this issue, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not a big fan of the way the team was constructed. I heard your caller last night mention that, you know, pitching, he was right. I absolutely agreed with him. The pitching has been suspect, and there's been a lot of uncertainty with the pitching, namely Sanchez. Burley, you know, he's a fly ball pitcher, so you know what we're going to get with Burley at this point. Mickey, you never know how the knuckleball is going to dance. So there's a lot of uncertainty within the pitching staff. But in my estimation, there's also a lot of uncertainty within the bat, within the lineup. We know that eventually injuries or Bautista and Encarnacion, these guys might be due a down year. He's off to a slow start, as he was last year, so that's not saying much. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, all it takes is for Bautista or Encarnacion to have a bad year, and we got a whole bunch of other rookies in the lineup. I mean, we've got Devin Travis in there that's been doing a pretty good job. You know, Dalton Pompey, we see what's going on with him. He has his struggles. We know that right now the third baseman, he's pretty good, but he needs protection. So, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty here. The one thing that I do think about this team, though, is it's really strange, is that from a marketing standpoint, this team is brilliant. It's amazing. I mean, if you want to market the fact that this team has six rookies or the most rookies ever in franchise history, that's amazing. There's so many different things that you can market about this team that from a marketing standpoint would be amazing. But from a pure performance standpoint, I don't know. This team, there's a lot of uncertainty. And like I said, Bautista and Encarnacion are due down years. And if they do have one, it could be as a result of injury. Pat Tabler mentioned today, his timing might be off. That could be due to the fact that he only had 29 at-bats in spring training. So, again, speaking to injuries, I mean...
Okay, I'm going to stop you, Tom, because you're starting to repeat yourself.
Sure, go.
But, I mean, if you want to say that the uncertainty in the Blue Jays lineup comes from the fact that Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion might have down years and Josh Donaldson needs protection, I can't go with you on that. You're right about what you said about the pitching, except for what you said about Burley and Dickey. But you're right about uncertainty as far as the pitching staff is concerned. But the Blue Jays have three of the best hitters in the game. In Bautista and Encarnacion and Donaldson. And
okay, how is that helping us right now, Mike?
Well, everything else isn't going well, and they're 9-10. What's going well on this team except for Devin Travis and Roberto Osuna? I don't care what Pat Tabler said. This isn't Pat Tabler talk. I want your opinions, not his.
Okay, well, the stats that your sports net guys threw up.
Uh-huh. Doesn't count. When I say I don't want to hear what Pat Tabler says, then I don't want to hear what my Sportsnet guys said either. I want your opinions. That's the thing. That's what I like about Blue Jays talk, is that I get to hear from you. I want your opinions, and I want you to be able to defend them with facts. I don't want to hear what Pat Tabler had to say. That's Pat's opinion. What's yours? Edwin Encarnacion is having a terrible April. You know what? Edwin Encarnacion had a terrible April last year and was one of the best hitters in the major leagues last season. At some point in time, it's true that Edwin and Bautista are going to stop producing. No indication that that point in time is this season. Brendan is in Banff, Alberta. Has Derek Jeter come out there for his trip yet?
Nah, yeah, we're waiting for him.
Oh, all right. Well, make sure you say hi when he does.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, I just want to ask you about what you think about the Jays' young arm going forward. I like what I've seen so far, but I was just wondering if you think going forward in years to come that there'll be enough to carry the team. I mean, with Burley and Dickey on the way out and a year where we've had to cut ties with Romero and Drabek, I was just wondering what your take is on the young core.
Well, it's not like Romero and Drabek were going to be in a position to help anyway. I mean, otherwise,
no,
they wouldn't
have
cut ties with them.
You never knew what was going to go on with Romero. Maybe he would have bounced back. You never know.
Well, and if he does, they can still sign him. He's a free agent.
Yeah, true enough. They'll pick him up.
Yeah, and he's not going to bounce back this year. That's why they released him. But Burley's going to be gone. Dickey probably won't. I imagine Dickey will be back next year, that they'll pick up his option. But look, you'll have Hutchison, Norris, Sanchez, Castro, Osuna, Scott Copeland, I think that's probably got you covered. And whatever free agents you bring in or trades you make or anything like that, I I don't see any reason. I think the pitching pipeline looks phenomenal for the Blue Jays going forward.
Yeah, okay.
And Stroman, too. I didn't even mention Stroman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I just wanted your take to think if, as a core, they were strong enough to carry going forward.
After this year?
Yeah.
Well, let's let them go through this year and see what happens.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I don't know if it's a new thing or not, but so many people seem to just not see what's in front of them and worry about what's going to happen in 5 months, in a year, in 2 years. I think it just takes away from your ability to enjoy the present. I have a feeling that if the Blue Jays ever make the playoffs, on the night they clinch, I'll get at least one call, if not more, saying, what are they going to do next year? I think there was an opening day once where I got a call asking about next season's pitching staff. I don't get it. Someone will have to explain it to me at some point. Cody in Hamilton, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
I was just wondering, kind of as you're saying on the last caller, pitching pipeline looking great. You got Hoffman still coming up.
Yeah, I forgot about him too. Thank you.
At what point do you figure the Jays have to maybe look at selling some of these veterans, such as Batista and Edwin, to pair up these young pitchers with young position players for the future?
Well, if you're out of it in July, then that's what you do, because you only have a year left. But yeah, this year, that's you have to. This is a watershed year for this franchise. If you're out of it in July, you got to trade Batista and Encarnacion. Now, you can't trade Batista without his permission because he's a 10-5 guy. But I don't think it'll be a problem moving him to a place where he's got a chance to win. But I don't want to talk
about
that
Red?
Now. Why do you want to talk about that on April 25th when they're two games out of first place and playing like crap?
Guys, looking at how good the pitching is going to be, kind of got to hope that there's that position prospect to go along with that.
Or, you know, maybe you could enjoy the fact that two of the best hitters in baseball are on this team right now, or three of them, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate the call. I do think that's a Toronto, well, Cody was in Hamilton, but a GTA thing. Boy, this guy's really good. Let's get rid of him. This guy's awesome. Let's see what we can get. I'll tell you this. If they trade Jose Bautista, they're not getting anybody back who's as good as Jose Bautista. And they're probably, no matter what level of prospect they get, not getting anybody back who's ever going to be as good as Jose Bautista is right now. That's an important thing to remember. Blue Jays lose 5-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They get swept. 0-3 to start the road trip. 3-3 this week after going 2-5 last week, after going 4-2 the first week of the season. Ian in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Listen to a few callers. What the Jays are this year, and this is what they are, they're a team who's got to score a bunch of runs to have a shot of winning most nights. Their starting isn't good enough yet with the kids. Hutchinson's still doing a Jekyll and Hyde act every couple times he's out there. Either he's shut lockdown, complete lockdown, or complete bust. Norris and Sanchez, they're young, they're kids. They'll come around, but it's too much to ask them to come around right away.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And that's the problem. You need aces because Dickey and Burley aren't. They're bottom of the rotation starters for what they are. And what they are guys who are going to throw 200 innings, but their ERA is going to hover around 4, which isn't anything special.
Which is not bottom. You don't understand what a bottom of the rotation
starter is. Well, mid rotation then. Okay.
Okay. I'll give you that.
That's
sure.
Fine. I'm just saying, when I'm saying bottom, it's in 3-4. That's all. Not 5. They're better than 5. But they're
5
like,
is bottom.
Sorry. That's fine. That's fair. But they do need to score a bushel of runs every day. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble. The saving grace is that other than Tampa, nobody in this division knows how to pitch. So everybody else is banking on the same thing. So when you're playing the Red Sox, the Yankees, you're going to see a lot of ugly games with 10 runs apiece on each side.
Yeah, you may. You may. And I wouldn't, I don't know that that's necessarily fair. I mean, I've said that they are going to bludgeon some teams a lot of the time, but they didn't need to score a bushel of runs to win yesterday. They didn't need to score a bushel of runs to win the three games they lost against the Rays at home.
No, they don't. But when they're shut down, they don't seem to win. When they only score two or three runs, they've only won once, I think, this year when they scored under six.
So, yeah, but they haven't had. I mean, they haven't needed to score six or more to get all those wins, right? So that's really kind of an unfair stat. But they haven't, when they've only scored a run or two, they haven't won. That's true.
They can't because the pitching can't.
Yes, it can. Don't say can't. Hasn't.
Most nights it hasn't been good enough. It can.
Yes.
But most nights it hasn't. And I'm not expecting it this year to happen more than I'm not. Norris looks like he's got incredible stuff. Eventually, he can be that number one. He could be that ace. Stroman, obviously, it's a huge loss. If everybody admitted, if you went to a one-game playoff last year, everybody admitted it. It was Stroman who you picked to start.
Sure. But remember, too, you know, as much as they miss Stroman, and I think they do, this is a guy with 20 career starts in the major leagues. And had he been in this rotation right now, people would be saying, well, still a question mark, uncertainty. You know, you're not sure what you're going to get out of Marcus Stroman because he's still in his first year in the big leagues.
Agreed, but at least he didn't come. If he had come in and ended up with a 5-15 record last year, then the expectations would have been different.
Sure, but there's nothing to say that Norris can't do this year what Stroman did last year.
I just think Norris is a little too young. I think he was pushed through the system a little too fast.
Okay, but he did earn his way through the system at every stop.
Of course he earned his way.
Right, so.
Of course he earned his way. But
like you can make the argument that Sanchez didn't necessarily, but Norris did. But what it comes down to is, I mean, I think you're a little off just a bit because it sounds like you're talking about how these kids are going to have ERAs of like 6 and 7 and the Blue Jays are going to need to score 8-9 runs every time they pitch in order to win games.
I'm seeing more for like 5 runs you're going to need.
Okay, that's not a bushel. This team should average 5 runs a game at the end of the season.
It should, but it should when it's healthy.
Even when it's not healthy, should average 5 runs a game. I mean, they certainly didn't do it this weekend in Tampa Bay, absolutely, but without Jose Bautista, they scored 11 runs in 2 games against Baltimore, right? With a broken Jose Reyes and no Michael Saunders. This team should still be able to score a bunch of runs.
It can, but you have to admit Tampa's got far superior pitching so far this year than Baltimore has.
Yes.
So you have to take that into account, and we all know. And if people keep saying it's pitching and defense that wins the championship.
That's not true.
So
it's pitching and defense that wins championships unless you get overwhelmed offensively, right?
Yeah.
Good pitching beats good hitting. Except for the times when good hitting beats good pitching.
True, but good pitching will outlast good hitting.
Not necessarily true at all.
But there was one good thing about last year, which people didn't forget. For the most part, until when McGowan voluntarily moved himself back to the bullpen, they ran the same 5 rotation starters all the way through the year.
Yeah, from the point at which McGowan, it was a mutual decision to take McGowan out of the rotation.
Yeah, McGowan.
Yeah,
McGowan.
They had the same 5 starters except for those little spot starts from Hendricks and when Stroman got suspended. But yeah, and that's something that's really, really something. And you know what? 3 of those guys are back. And Norris and Sanchez are working their way in. And honestly, if 5 runs a game is a bushel, I don't think you need to worry. Victoria is in Waterford. Hello, Victoria.
Hello there. How are you?
I am not unwell, thank you. Go ahead.
Good. Well, you know, I'm just still so excited, and I hear the, you know, kind of nitpicking sort of negative talk, and I'm still really, really excited. The only thing I said before, I haven't been disappointed in anyone. I'm a little bit like, I'd like to see that really sharp fire in the gut come back in Cecil. he just looks a little complacent. And I just like to see some fire in the gut come back again, you know?
Yeah, I don't believe in any of that stuff, Victoria. I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I don't believe in any of that stuff. I don't care about fire in the belly. I think most of that stuff's just for show. Results are the only things that matter. And I don't think your outward appearance or affectations or anything like that really make a difference. That's just my philosophy on stuff. I know a lot of people think the other way. And it's definitely more fun to think the other way. But Brett Cecil's gotten results in every single one of his outings but two. So, honestly, I don't mean to burst your bubble to that extent, but it doesn't, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. There are a lot of people who are big into that. It doesn't matter. Paul O'Neill beating the hell out of a Gatorade bottle or Gatorade jug in the dugout is more about, everyone needs to see how upset I am. Look at what a team player I am. Look how much I hate losing than anything else. Blue Jays lose it 5-1. And it's just been revealed that Brendan Kennedy of the Star with this tweet, Chris Archer was really, really sick today. He pitched 7 innings of 2-hit shutout with a walk and 7 strikeouts, and he was puking between innings. So big ups to Chris Archer for that performance, even more so now. Cameron is in Dundas. You're on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Wow, that's pretty impressive about Archer.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah. So I was just wondering, the game earlier this week when Sanchez was pitching, I don't know if anybody noticed, but it was 2-2, and Martin threw down the fastball sign. Sanchez took him off. Martin gave him the fastball sign again with a fist bump. Sanchez came back through high and inside and struck him out. I was just wondering your thoughts on that, because that's why I thought we got Martin, is to teach these young kids how to pitch and listen to them. And yeah. I just love to see that. I was wondering your thoughts.
I think that's part of what Russ Martin does. I mean, you know, we saw it in spring training, and Joe Siddle still talks about this game in spring training where Aaron Sanchez was on the hill and Russ Martin was catching, and it was a 3-1 3-1 count, and he asked Sanchez to throw a curveball, and Sanchez threw a bad curveball and got away with it. I think it was fouled off or something. And so Martin put down the curveball again. Said, look, you can do this. Throw it again. And he threw a beautiful one and struck him out, and now Aaron Sanchez knows that he can throw a 3-2 curveball and get a big league hitter out. And yeah. And this, you know, this is the same sort of thing, and it's part of this developing process, and it's part of having this extra coach on the field and this great game caller in Russ Martin.
Yeah, well, it gives him some added confidence. It's like, listen to me, kids, I'll get you there, and just keep listening to me, I got you, which I really like.
Yeah.
The second part I was wondering is, do you think, we do have a lot of young prospects in pitching, and I don't know, I know you're a fan of Dickey, but lots of people are really getting fed up with his walks. Do you think there's a market to package him maybe with a younger pitcher and to get like an ace or somebody to end the game for us?
No.
Because there's just there's something missing from that rotation and bullpen that we need.
First of all, I wouldn't trade a 200 inning guy with an ERA around 4.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, it's just
but that's
200 just
innings.
Stupid.
But they got rid of Price last year and they got that crazy lefty on Tampa.
They got rid of Price last year because they were in last place and they were out of they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they got Drew Smyly, who could wind up being good, but so far is, you know, he's fine.
Well, his last year's stats were tops in the league, right?
His what?
At the last 2 months of the year, he was like first in almost every single like OPS.
Drew Smyly?
Yeah, at the end of the year. They were
first I've heard of that.
Game.
But regardless, Tampa trades him. Because they're in last place and they're out of it, and they're moving a guy who's going to be a free agent. You know, R.A. Dickey, you're right. People are getting frustrated and fed up with him, and they have been since the day he got here. He was booed in his second start as a Blue Jay. And it's ridiculous. R.A. Dickey has not been Cy Young caliber by any means. but he's been a very, very good pitcher for this team, and he continues to be. He had a crappy outing on Friday night, and it was his first bad outing of the year. So, no, you don't. And secondarily, nobody is going to trade an ace to get Dickey, because if you're trading an ace, it also means you're out of it. You don't need to win, so why would you want R.A. Dickey, who's a win-now guy?
Very true.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be nice to see when the three big bats get going, even if two of them get going, how much we can produce and what kind of wins we can put up. So thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get, but we are going to wrap things up right here. Roger Lajoie is coming up next. He is going to talk about the Raptors, Game 4 with the Washington Wizards. And we're back on the air at 6 o'clock Eastern Time tomorrow. 6 o'clock for a 6:10 first pitch, Blue Jays and Red Sox. It'll be Aaron Sanchez against Joe Kelly. And when it's all over, we'll do it again. Thanks for listening to Blue Jays Talk. Thanks to J.D. Bunkus, Brian Calhoun. I'm Mike Wilner. We will see you tomorrow.